We're holding on Zion Omid Bey's 16 lines from the bottom, about two-thirds of the way down the wide lines. Continuing with various drushes about Dayanim and their role and how they should act, the Gemara says, Dorash Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara gave a drusha. Menoha Milsa Da'amur Rabbanan Hevo Musunim Badin. Where is there a source in the Pasuk for this that the Chachamim say? We have in Pirkei Avos that the Amshek Nesa Gdoila said, Hevo Musunim Badin, be slow, be deliberate and careful in judgment. In other words, think it over carefully before you're passing it. Dichtiv, because we find by the Mizbeach, V'lei Salav Amalas on Mizbechi, don't go up to my Mizbeach with steps. And the steps, you would be able to hurry up. You'd be able to run up there. Instead, you have a ramp which forces you to walk slowly. The Samech Lev, Ve'elam Mishpatim, and then the next pasuk continues, and these are the judgments, Ve'elam Mishpatim, Ashatasim Lefnehem. So we see, in other words, the Torah is hinting that the Ve'elam Mishpatim should be done in a slow and deliberate way, and not that you're rushing to judgment. With that said, by the way, I mean, there is something called Inui Hadin, where you're just delaying the judgment for no good reason. That's not allowed either. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about to think it over carefully. And we're talking about to think it over carefully. And Marshall also explains, in other words, the point is that a person shouldn't think as voice salad. Don't go up in your own thoughts and think that I'm so great that I can figure it out right away. Realize that you're not quite at that level yet, and you have to deliberate it carefully. Similarly, Omer of Eliezer, or of Elazar, really, it's supposed to be, Minayin L'dayin Shalai Yifsal Roshay Am Kodesh. Here's another thing we can learn from the same Pasuk. How do we know when the Dayan comes into the, and he's coming into the Beis Medrash to learn or to teach Torah, that he shouldn't step over the heads of the holy people? Meaning, in other words, in those days, everybody sat on the floor. So the Dayan or the Rosh Hashiva or anybody walks in after everybody else, he's going to have to step over their heads in order to he's going to have to step over their heads in order to get to his place. So not literally over their heads, but he's walking through while they're sitting on the floor. It makes it look like he's stepping over their heads. So how do we know he shouldn't do that? In other words, he should get there first. He should get there first before everybody sits down. Either that, or they're going to make a path for him. So it's just the same thing. Shenemalei salav amalos v'samochle ve'elam ashpatim ashtosim. Same thing. The pasuk says, "Don't go up in steps," and then it continues. These are the judgments. So it means, in other words, don't be walking in a way that makes it look like you're stepping over the people and showing them a lack of derech eretz. We had this actually not so long ago in Ein Yaakov and Yerubamos as well, but yeah. Okay. So now the Gemara says, by the way, we're saying Ve'elam Ashvatim Ashatosim. What's the expression Ashatosim that you should place? Usually Tosim refers to something tangible. So Ashatolamdim Yidvoylai. So the Pasuk should be saying that you should teach them the dinim. Why I should toss him? This refers to the tools of the dayanim. So this is actually a physical thing, a davar metalto that you can actually put down in front of them. So make sure that you show them the clay hadayanim, these tools that the dayan uses for his job, and that way, like, in other words, like it'll make them realize, you know what, there are consequences if we don't listen to the dayanim, and that'll make them listen. So what are these klei hadayanim? Rav Huna, ki have a nafik l'dina, when Rav Huna would go out to his beis din shtibul, to a din Torah, Omer Hachi, he would tell his shamashim, apikuli monei chanusoi, bring out the tools of my store. So in other words, the tools that I use for my job. Different gears that Marsha brings is money dina, the kalim for my din. Whatever. The point is, what are they? Makil, a stick to beat people who need makas mardus, or itsua, and a strap to give people who need malchus daraisa. The shofra, and a shofra to put people in chayrim when in nidui when necessary. The sandala, and a sandal for chalitza. So those are the tools of the Beis Din. So Hashem is telling Moshe, and this applies to every Beis Din throughout the generations, make sure, Dayanim, that you have these tools available, and this will be something that people will realize, you know what, the Dayan, it's not just he's telling us what to do, he's got enforcement mechanisms, and that'll make them listen. Similarly, the Gemara says, when it says, Va'atzaveh shevteichem ba'oisahi, later on, Moshe describes in Parshas Devarim how he appointed judges, and he says, I commanded your judges at that time. Now, the simple meaning is, in context, is he told them to pay attention to the dinim of judgment, make sure to judge everybody fairly, listen to both sides' arguments, and so forth. But since he continues, Shamaya ben Achechem, listen among your fellow Jews, and Vat Savar, Rashi points out that Savar is Lashon Zeruz, is Lashon of telling them to be quick and to be eager to do such a thing. So what is he telling them about? Amar Rabbi Yechonah k'negen makol tzurot heizoriz bizrizim. He's telling the Dayorim, bizrizim, be quick and be eager when necessary to use these tools. L'shem shemayim. You do have to be able to lahatol emal atzibur, to make the people afraid of you so that they know to listen. So don't hold back when necessary to make these tools to use these tools when necessary. Tosfos actually learns the other way around, that it means that is true, but on the other hand, also Moshe is telling them, don't be overbearing on the tzibur, don't be matal emal tzibur, ludoisam yosimidai, to punish them or to threaten them more than necessary. So Dayan has to strike a balance. He has to know that people, he has to make it that people should fear him, but not too much. So that all of that is included in Moshe telling the judges, Vatsava, that I commanded you. Alright, let's darshan more of that pasuk. The pasuk continues, Shamoya ben Achechem Ushvatzem. The pasuk says, listen between your brothers and judge. So between your brothers, Amar Rav Chanina, as Horal Abaisin Shalom Yishma Divrei Baldin Kodem Shiyavei Baldin Chaveri. This is a warning to Baisin. They shouldn't listen to one side's arguments before the other side comes, because inevitably you hear the first side already. It has a certain effect. You feel it starts getting into your brain, and then afterwards when the other one comes, then you're more likely to mentally dismiss it or think less of it or whatever. So you have to have both of them present, and the idea being that way, when one of them says his piece, then the other one is right away available to speak up against it.
Which pasuk are you referring to?
We're talking about
to?
A pasuk in Parshas Devarim, but Vatsaves Shifteichem, Moshe says, I commanded your judges, Bo'isahi, at that time, Lamer, saying, Shamoya ben Achechem, listen between your brothers. So that means, in other words, that Dayan has to listen only when both brothers, only when both Baladin are present. Marshall explains, also the point is, Bein Achechem suggests you want to be exactly impartial between the two of them. If you listen to one of them first, when the other one's not there, then you're not going to be completely impartial. And also, Vaz Horal Baldin, and it's also a warning to the Baladin themselves, Shal Yatim Dvara Vadayan, Kurdim Shiyav Baldin Khaveri. He's not allowed to go and explain his claims in detail to the Dayan before the other one comes. Same idea, in other words, so that the Dayanim are not biased. Because how do we get that? If the pasuk is saying that Moshe is speaking to the Dayanim and telling them Shamoya ben Achechem, listen between your brothers. How do we get also that there's a warning to the Baladin in there? Because Kri Beinami, because you could also read the word Shamoya as if it said Shama ben Achechem, make it heard between your brothers. In other words, that the Baladin himself, who's making his words heard, has a responsibility to make sure that he doesn't do it in a way that's going to cause the Dayanim to be biased. We talked the other day about Yesh Em L'Mikra, Yesh Em L'Masodas, but here, as the Gemara had pointed out over here, the two of them don't contradict one another. Shamoya is addressed to the Dayanim, Shama is addressed to the Baal Edin, and both are true. They have to be careful about both of them. Rav Kahana Omamehocha, Rav Kahana says, you have another pasuk where also we see that point, because the pasuk says, Lois Sisa, Shema Shav, which has a number of meanings. Literally it means don't bear a false report. So in other words, it can mean don't speak falsely about another person, etc. But also we can learn from it, the word loisisa also means don't accept it. And Korive Loy and Loy Sasi, and you can also read the word Loy Sisa, don't accept it, which is again a warning for a Dayan. Loy Sasi, don't make it be accepted, which would be speaking to the Baal Din. And either way, Shem Ashrav, a false report, in the sense that again, if you hear one side without the other, it's not necessarily going to be 100% true, and then later on you hear the other side and you're going to be a bit biased already from having heard the first one independently. So therefore, so that pasuk also, Loy Sisa, which can also be read Loy Sasi, teaches us the same point to that the Dayonim and the Baal didn't have this responsibility. Next, the pasuk continues there, that same pasuk in Devarim, continues, Shamoya ben Achechem, it continues, O Shvat Tem Tzedek, and you should judge Tzedek. So what does that mean? Omer Shlokish, Tzedek Asadin v'achaka choscheu, v'achaka choscheu. First, justify the verdict in your mind, and then cut it, and then state what it is. In other words, like we said before, the Dayan has to deliberate carefully, the Dayanim have to deliberate carefully before they give a verdict. So first, in other words, think it over carefully in your mind to figure out who is right and who's telling the truth, and figure out all the details, and only then pass in it. So in other words, the point is, like we said before, that you have to be careful before you don't just give out a verdict. Make sure that you've thought it over carefully, and you know, and you're saying the din emes lamite, as we learned yesterday. Then the pasuk continues, that same pasuk, ben ish uvein ochi uvein geiroi. The pasuk continues that you need to judge fairly between a man and his brother, and between his ger. So between his ger, we're going to talk about in a minute what that means. But first, what does it mean? Ben ishu ben achiv, omer of Yehuda afilu ben bayis la'aliyah. Even for example, you have a case where two brothers have inherited a property, and one of them, and we have to divide it. One of them is going to get the ground floor, and one of them is going to get the second floor. So you might think to yourself, you the dayanim might think, okay, you know, big deal. What does it matter? We can just flip a coin to decide who gets what. They're both going to have a place to live after all. No, even then you need to figure out the respective values and make sure that they're both getting their fair share. So afilu ben bayis la'aliyah, even where it's just a matter of a ground floor versus a second floor, you still have to judge the case carefully and figure out the respective values. The other things being equal, mistama, the ground floor is going to be worth more because it's easier to get in and out of. But either way, the point is that you have to be careful even about such minor matters. Marsha brings another point as well, that the idea being you might think, for example, let's say the house, the ground floor is worth more, so it should go to the older brother, and the upstairs floor can go to the younger brothers. Then no, you still have to do that as well. You still have to be careful about that as well. And when it says uvein geiroi, when it says between his ger, now the simple meaning of geiroi means a ger, as in a ger tzedek or a ger toshav, but then the pasuk wouldn't really have to say that. So Amar Rav Yehuda afilu ben tanu l'kirayim. It means the word uvein geiroi would darshening meloshen ger meloshen living over there. So it means we mean the furniture and the appliances for the house. So afilu ben tanu l'kirayim. Even for example, you have an argument about who's going to get the stove, who's going to get the oven, and who's going to get the stove. So again, you might think, what does it matter? Both of them are going to have something to cook with. So therefore, nevertheless, you still have to divide it and judge it fairly. Another point is also, Marshall makes a point as well, that it also includes, for example, that so one thing you might think then that the word geiroi, again, the word another meaning of the word geiroi literally means to live there, to dwell there. So you might think, Marsha says, that you have one person has a larger household, therefore he must have the oven. The other one has a smaller household, so he can get by with the stove, and you would think that should be that. But no, that we still have to figure out the respective values, and one is going to have to compensate the other as necessary. It also includes, by the way, Ben Ishu, Ben Tano, the Kirayim, also includes, for example, the point in Baba Basra, it talks about in some length in the second parak, various dinim about you have an oven in a house, how much clearance above it do you need to have between it and the ceiling? If you have it on the second floor, how thick a floor and plastering do you have to have between it, underneath it, so that so fires don't break out? So it means you have to be careful to judge such things as well, and not just say not just make light of that. Okay. Next, the pasuk continues. Continuing Moshe's instructions to the Dayanim, he continues, "Lesakiru ponim b'mishpat, do not show favoritism in judgment." What's that pasuk adding now? Now the word "lesakiru," Marsha points out, can have a double meaning. It can mean the hakir ponim often means to in Tanakh often means to show somebody favoritism. Literally, it means to recognize his face. But it's also there's also the word nakir from pretty much the same Shurdish, which means to act like a stranger, like we have in this week's parasha, "Vayis nakir aleihem." Yosef saw his brothers, and he pretended to be a stranger to them. So that means, the Gemara says, it means both. Rabbi Yehuda says, if one of the Baal Din is a friend of yours, don't recognize him specially to show him favoritism. Rabbi Elazar says it means on the contrary. On the other hand, if the guy is not not so friendly to him, don't act like a stranger to him. Either way, you have to be completely impartial, friend or enemy. Now later on, we're going to talk about in the Masechta that whether if you have somebody who's a really deeply entrenched friend or enemy, whether b'chlal you're allowed to sit on a beis din involving such a person, or whether you're able to say eders involving such a person. We'll get to that in the third parak, Be'ez Hashem. But here we're not talking about best friends, and we're not talking about worst enemies. What we're talking about, inevitably you have some people that you like more than others. So therefore, so Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar respectively are saying that the pasuk is warning you to not let that influence your judgment. And the Gemara gives an example involving that. Ushpizichne de Rav, Rav's host. So many times, especially when Chachamim were learning out of town, they were bored by people. So that person they were boarding by is their ushpizichon, their host. So this host, also lechamed le dinner, he one time came to Rav for a din Torah. Omale, and he says to Rav, Lavush Pazichni at, aren't you my guest? Don't you realize that I've been doing you a lot of favors, having you board in my house? Omale, and so Rav says, yeah, what do you need? Omale, so the guy says, dinner is for you, have a din Torah. Omalei, so Rav says, Postilna l'choladina. I'm passing myself to judge you because you mentioned the favors that you did for me. Strictly speaking, Tosfos says he wouldn't have to recuse himself because of that. But Rav was going the extra mile. So instead, Rav tells his Talmud, Rav Kahana, go and judge him. I don't want to get involved over here because I'm afraid I'm going to be biased. Now that he mentioned his favors, you go and get together the Beis Din and judge him. Chazir, to have a kagoyis day, Rav Kahana saw during the din Torah, the guy is acting in a very chutzpahdik way. He's like I can say whatever I want, I can do whatever I want, and I know that Rav is gonna be on my side. Fine, he's not sitting here on the beis din, but I know that Rav's got my back. Omalei, so Rav Kahana tells him, don't do that. Eat tsaisa tsaisa. If you're going to listen to what I, as the head of the beis din over here, I'm telling you, then good, you'll listen. The Eloi, and if not, ma'pikna la Rav me'unach, I will take Rav out of unach. Now, the word unach has a couple of different meanings. The word unach can mean strength, like you have the word oin in Lashon Kodesh. So I will take Rav out of your strength, meaning, in other words, you're going to see that Rav is not going to be able to help you because I will put you in cheira. Another explanation of me'unach means from your ear. You imagine schlepping Rav out of the guy's ear, it's gonna hurt. So in other words, Rav Kahana is telling him that you're gonna suffer the consequences. Don't think that you can rely on Rav and be chutzpahdik in front of the beis din like that. And a related point is also that from your ear, meaning in other words, don't think that Rav is gonna listen to anything you have to say. You have to listen to what the beis din says. So this is an example of this kind of thing where Rav was going the extra mile because he knows that, not just because he knows this guy, but because he mentioned to him specifically the favors that he did. And we see, in fact, that here, even in front of Rav Kahana, the guy was being a chutzpanyak, and Rav Kahana has to tell him to knock it off. Okay. Next, let's continue darshaning that pasuk, those psukim from Parashas Dvarim, which again are all of Moshe's instructions to the dayanim that he's appointing. He continues, "Kakoten kagodo tishmon." He says, you should listen to the small just as much as the great. In Lashon Kodesh, by the way, when you have two things that are compared with chofs, when you have a chof before one thing and before another, means they're exactly the same. So here, in other words, the pasuk is telling you that the small and the great have to be exactly the same. Now, if it means the small and the great people, then there's not necessarily much of a chiddush in that. We already said before that you have to be completely fair between the people. So now the Gemara is understanding that it means small and great as far as the amounts of money. Amar Reish Lakish, at the money, the amount of money at stake. Amar Reish Lakish, sheyehei chaviv alacha din shal pruta kedin shal mea mana. It means that a judgment involving one pruta should be as important and as precious to you as a din involving 100 mana. Well, the Gemara asks for my hilchsa. As far as what? What is Reish Lakish telling us? That Moshe has to stress that you have to treat them equally. Ilem ala ayunibeyo mifsakeh. Do you mean that in both cases the dayan has a responsibility to look carefully into the claims and counterclaims and all the dinim and decide the halacha accordingly? Of course, pshita. We said before the difference between a tanner and a kirayim or things like that, which are small differences. So we know already that they have to pay attention even to the details like that. And the answer is elalak dume. The chiddush is that as far as putting it first, in other words, if you have two cases have come to the dayan, one involving a pruta, the other involving 100 mana, and the dayan, and the one with the pruta came first. The dayan shouldn't say, well, you know what, the one with the pruta is not so important. We'll deal with it later. Let me first get to the one of the 100 mana. No, he has to take them in the order in which they came, even though that means putting the pruta one first. Now, what is the chiddush of that still, or that he shouldn't do them in the order, that he should do them in the order in which they came? Maharsha points out like this. A dayan is not allowed to get paid for judging dinei Torah. However, he is entitled to schar batola. We learned this way back in Ksubas, that look, a dayan would have had another job during this time, so he needs to be paid for his time that he could have been doing some other job. Now, if it's a din of 100 mana, there's going to be money out of it to be able to pay that. But if you're talking about a din of a pruta, then there's not necessarily going to be. Nevertheless, he still has to put the din of the pruta first, because it came in that order. Ben Yehoyada, that was Maharsha. Ben Yehoyada points out another point as well. You know what, you could think of it, the dayan might think to himself, you know, Mela, with the din of the pruta, there's not much of a concern. Is the other bal din going to run away? Is he going to run out of town in order to evade paying? Probably not. It's only a pruta. He probably will stick around. But 100 mana, he might well skip town if we don't get to his din Torah first. Nevertheless, we still have to keep things in order. And if we have concerns that the guy is going to run away, then we'll deal with that. But we can't say automatically because of that the larger din comes first. Okay. Next, the pasuk continues. Again, continuing with these psukim, we're going phrase by phrase through these psukim and say in Chumash Devarim, in Parashas Devarim. So Moshe continues, Lois Zaguru Mipnei Ish, don't be afraid of any person. Amar Abchanan Al Tachnis Devarecha Mipnei Ish, don't bring in and hide your words because of anybody. We had that drasha already previously on Daf Nayan, so which is why it's in parenthesis over here. Maharshal takes it out, but we learned already before that it means, for example, that a dayan has reason to be afraid because one of the bala din is a tough customer and he's gonna harass him or whatever. Nevertheless, once he already started judging the din Torah, he can't recuse himself. We said that you have a Talmud sitting in front of his Rebbe and realizes that his Rebbe is about to paskin wrongly in favor of the rich person in the din Torah, for example, where the Talmud knows an argument that would help out the poor person, then he's obligated to speak up. So we learned about all of that, the idea that he's not allowed to bring in to hide his words. He has to say loisaguru. In other words, the simple meaning of loisaguru means don't be afraid, but it also means, as we learned yesterday, means don't gather in. We learned through the Shurdish gur or ogar means to gather in. So here it means the same thing. Don't gather in and hide your words because of fear of a person or because of respect for a person or whatever. Now, Moshe continues, Ki amishpat le'lekim hu, he says, because the judgment is Hashem's. So what does that mean? Omer abchoma berav chanina. Omer akadosh baruch hu. It means that Hashem is the, in other words, the judgment is Hashem's. In other words, when you're judging and telling a person to pay money, it's as if you're if you judge wrongly, if you paskin wrongly, it's as if you're taking away money from Hashem. So Amar Rav Chama Rav Chanina, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu means Hashem is saying, Lo'dayim l'Roshoyim sh'noitlim izem momen v'noistim l'zeh sh'loi kadin. Not only it's not bad enough that the Roshoyim, when they judge wrongly, they're taking money from one person and giving to the other one unjustly, which means they're stealing from a person, El Shematrichin Osi l'achsim momen l'baylov, but even so to speak, they're troubling me, they're bothering me to return the money to the owner. In other words, Hashem is going to have to say, look, you know, the Dayan paskin wrongly, he paskin that Reuven owes Shimon the money, where in fact he doesn't. So now Hashem is saying, I'm going to have to manipulate things in the world to make sure that Reuven gets back that money. And it's, so to speak, a tircha for Hashem to have to do that, and therefore that's the Kiyam Mishpat Le'lekim who realize that the judgment directly involves Hashem if you judge it wrongly. Next, Moshe finishes off his instructions to the Dayanim. He says, "Va'adava sheyikshem ikem." He says, "Anything that's too hard for you," then he continues, "Takrivu ne'live shmaitiv. You should bring it to me, and I'll hear it." Amr Rav Chanina vi Tamer Rav Yoshia al dover zen nanash Moshe. So Rav Chanina, or some say Rav Yoshia, says because of this. Now, what does Moshe mean? Takrivun a lie. You should bring it to me, and I'll hear it. As if to say it, in other words, like he's saying that I'll be your court of last resort. It sounds a bedakos, a little gaivadik. So for that, Moshe was punished in a certain other case where by Bnei Slavchon, Shemar by Yakar of Moshe as Mishpatim Lifnei Hashem, where Moshe had to bring their judgment close to Hashem. So in other words, because Moshe said like that, he should have said, Rashi points out, he should have said, if you have anything that you don't know, anything that's too difficult for you, takrivun lifnei Hashchina. You should bring it in front of the Shechina, bring it to Hashem, meaning, and it'll be understood that the Dayanim themselves don't talk to Hashem, they talk to Moshe, who in turn asks Hashem, but the fact that he says, Eli, so Hashem made it at one point that he didn't know the halacha, and he had to ask Hashem directly in front of everybody. But Maskis Lord of Nachma Yitzchak, Rav Nachma Yitzchak says, what do you mean? How can you say that? What did Moshe do wrong? Miksiv Ashmiachem. Did Moshe say, I will make you hear it? In other words, which then it would be that he's taking all the Gdullah for himself. He's saying, you bring it to me and I will tell you, as if like he's cutting Hashem out of it. No, Ushmativ Ksiv. All Moshe is saying is, you bring it to me and I will hear and I will listen to it. Meaning, implying, e gemuna gemuna, if it's something that I already learned from Hashem, then good, I learned it, and I'll tell you, the Eli Zilnava gemuna, and if not, then I'll go learn it from Hashem on the spot. So by saying, takrivun Eli or shmatim, Reb Nachman Yitzchak is saying, Moshe didn't do anything wrong. You can't say that Moshe, therefore, was punished that in the situation with Bnei Slavchon, where he's made to ask Hashem in front of everybody, because that's to begin with what he was saying he was going to do. So Ella Kidatanya. Rather, no. We have to understand what happened by Bnei Slavchad. Why did Moshe have to go to Hashem to ask? Why did he know? Why didn't Hashem make sure that he knew it ahead of time? Is Kidatanya, as we learn in a Braisa, which we learned in Baba Basra, Ruuya Parshas Nachlas Shetikosi Vayde Moshe Rabbeinu. It would have been suitable. It would have been fitting that the parasha of Nachlas, this whole section about how Nachla works, that it goes from that if there's no sons then daughters, and if there's no daughters then brothers, etc., as we learned in detail in Brava Basra, that should have been written through Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, it should have been like all the other sections in the Torah by Dabar Hashem Moshe Lamer. Here is what happens when a person dies. But Bnei Slavchad had the schus, the nichtav al yodan, it was written through them, meaning that they were the ones who came to Moshe with the question, and therefore it was written in the Torah. But in other words, you shouldn't think, Maharsha explains in Baba Basra, the point of that is, you shouldn't think, and if it hadn't been for Bnei Slavchad, what if they hadn't come forward with their claim, would this mitzvah be missing from the Torah? No, it would still be there. It just would have been like every other mitzvah. Hashem would have unilaterally told it to Moshe Rabbeinu, not in connection with a particular case. But here, they have this chus that it happened in connection with their particular case. And similarly, Uruya Hoysa Parshas Mekoshesh Shetikosu Vayde Moshe Rabbeinu. Similarly, the section about the Mekoshesh Eitzim, that a person was being Mechal Shabbos over there, gathering wood, different opinions in the Gemara, what Malacha exactly he was being over on, but whatever, he did a Malacha. And we learn over there that somebody was Mechal Shabbos Tetzkila. Again, Shetikosu Vayde Moshe Rabbeinu. It would have been worthy for it to be written through Moshe. Same thing, at some point it should have said, by Dabar Hashem Moshe Lema, or somebody who breaks Shabbos Tetzkila. Elephant is chayav mekoshesh. But the Mekoshesh was guilty of acting wrongly, v'nichtav al yodo, and therefore it was written through him. L'lamnecha, which comes to teach you, shemagalgal and choyva al-yidei chayev, Hashem brings about the negative things through people who are guilty, uschus al-yidei zakai, and uschus. So the fact that a Mechal Shabbos gets skila, we learn from somebody who violated Shabbos. And the fact that that Nachla goes to the daughters, we learn Aide Zakai, we learn it from the ones who did the right thing, namely Bnois Tzlochod. Really, of course, Bnois Tzlochod, there is the opinion, we learned in Golub Astra about this, that the Mekoshesh Eitzim himself was Tzlochod. So in that case then, and we learned also over there, Tosfos had talked about that maybe he wasn't, that maybe it's not so much that he was actually just blatantly being Mechal Shabbos. He had a reason behind it because he wanted to demonstrate to the Jewish people after the Chet Egel that Shabbos is still important and mitzvahs are still important and he's willing to be Moisa Nefesh for that. So still though, we can say that in a certain sense he's a Chayav and therefore it happens through him. So actually, the Chassam Sofer brings a bit of a positive thing in his sense. Again, since we're saying he meant L'shem Shemayim, he didn't have any sons, so therefore, he's executed over there, and what's going to happen, he's not going to have any sons to carry on his name. So therefore, Hashem calls it that now you have his name is carried on through the Mekoshesh, and that his own daughters are the ones who were the ones who were Zoicha, and the Parshas Nachlas is written through them. Okay. Now, So now we've gone through the Pesukim with Moshe's instructions to the Dayanim, but now the next Pesuk continues there in Parashas Devarim. V'atzava eschem, where Moshe says, I commanded you at that time. So the Gemara says, K'siv v'atzava shiftechem v'isahi, Udiyu, you have the Pesuk, which we already quoted in Darshan, that Moshe says, I commanded your judges, and I gave them instructions, Uchtiv v'atzava eschem v'isahi, and then it says, I commanded you. So what Moshe commanded the judges, we understand before. We said that they should make sure to have the tools of the Dayanim available and use them when necessary and not use them more, and then as Tosfos had said, not use them more than necessary. But on the other hand, so what's the instruction to the to Eschem, to you, to the people? It means Moshe is speaking to the Tzibur. He's telling them they should fear the Dayanim. And it's also a warning to the Dayan that he should be willing to handle the Tzibur and to be able to deal with them and do whatever is necessary for them and not get frustrated by them. So in other words, there are instructions to both. So according to Rashi, again, what we're saying is, before we said that the Dayanim do have to use their tools of the Dayanim when necessary, the makil and the stick and the stick and the strap and so on and so forth. But nevertheless, we're also saying, on the other hand, that it also means the Dayan also has to be patient with the Tzibur. So in fact, Maoshah says, Rashi would say, before it said Vatsava, which is Miloshin Zirus, which means, like we said, in other words, be quick, when necessary, to use the Makil and Ratsua. But here we're saying, the context of the Pasuk, Vatsava Sheftechem versus Vatsava Eschem, implies that there are two Tzivuyim, two commandments, one to the Shoftim, one to the Tzibur, that both are parallel to one another. So this is, that each one of them should make sure to listen to the other. The Dayanim and the Tzibur has to listen to the Dayanim, and the Dayanim have to listen to and be patient with the Tzibur. According to Tosfos, the question doesn't begin in the first place, because according to them, to begin with, the instruction to the Dayanim was to be patient with the Tzibur. And so now the Gemara is just reinforcing that. So the Gemara says, Ad Kama, how far does the Dayan have to go in being patient with the Tzibur and dealing with everything, with all their complaints and everything? Omer Abchonen, V'itemer Abshavsoi, as we find Moshe says about himself, Kasha Yiso Oymen Asayonim, like we find Moshe describes himself, that I need to, that he's telling Hashem in Parshas Bahaloscha, that I'm having to bear all the burden and all the everything of the Tzibur, like a nurse is holding and taking care of a baby. So in other words, everything. In other words, the Dayan has to be very, very patient with the Tzibur, like the way that a parent or a babysitter or whatever would be with a baby. In fact, the Nitziv points out on this acute thing. He says, you know, a baby sometimes he'll also dirty himself and you sometimes. Even then, the Dayan has to be patient with such a thing as well. In this connection, speaking of the relationship between the Dayanim and the leaders of the community and the Tzibur, Ksiv ki ata tovoy uchtiv ki ata tovi. In Parshas Vayelach, first Moshe tells Yeshua, you chazak v'hamotzi, tells him, be strong, you are going to be coming with them to Eretz Yisrael, uchtiv. And then a few psukim later in the parasha, when Moshe is giving the instructions to Yeshua, he says, ata tovi, you will bring them. So what's the difference? Amar Rav Yechon, Amar Moshe LeYeshua, Atav Askenim Shabadori Mahim. Because Moshe is telling Yeshua, you together with the Skenim are going to be leading the people. In other words, Moshe is telling Yeshua, it's not just going to be you all by yourself. You will come together with them in a way you're all going to be equals. However, Amar Yaakarish Baruch Hu, but Hashem says to Moshe and to Yeshua, no. To Makov Ahachakod Kodam. No, if you need to, take a stick and beat them over the head. Dabar echa l'dur, and shnei dabarim l'dur. There's only one leader for the generation, not two. So ultimately, there has to be, yes, the skenim do have to be involved, but you have to realize that you, Yeshua, are going to be the primary leader. So even though, yes, as we just said, Kasha Yisrael, Omer Esa Yonik, you have to be very patient and you have to deal with everybody and so forth, and we find the Jews in the times of Moshe were Tarchonim and Sarvonim. Moshe himself complains about it in Parshas Devarim, that they're very quarrelsome and argumentative and so forth. So now, Moshe is telling Yeshua, I think you're going to have the same situation, the same way as I went through a time when I felt I couldn't handle all the people. And Hashem tells me, you need Skenim with you. So the same way, this is how Maharsha explains it, Moshe is telling Yeshua the same thing, you'll have the Skenim together with you. But then Hashem is telling Yeshua, no, I'm going to give you the strength appropriate to the generation that they will be. After all, this generation of Balei Torah, they're the ones who have the schus to come into Eretz Yisrael, so you will have an Ema on them, and you won't need necessarily the Skenim to help you out, because you'll be able to be the sole leader. You'll be able to be the sole leader by yourself. There's a sicha. The Rashi brings this also in Parshas Vayelach, and there's a sicha in Chelek Yotes where Rashi brings this point, but with slightly different wording. In particular, Rashi has the expression over there that he says, "Skenim shabadur, you imach hakol lefi dait and ratzos, and everything is going to be according to their day and according to their advice." And Hashem tells Moshe, as he says over here, Hashem tells Yeshua, "Til makov hachakod kodam." So there's a Rashi sicha over there where the Rebbe explains, in other words, that since it says ha'om hazeh, this people, which usually means not when we're talking when the Jewish people are not exactly on the highest level, so therefore Rashi explains, in other words, you're going to have hazeh means the skenim. And ha'am means the regular people, including Yeshua, everything is going to be the free diet and v'atzosan. So in other words, Moshe is telling Yeshua, as far as the wars, you're going to be the sole leader. But as far as the management of the Jewish people, that's going to be up to the Dayanim. But then Hashem says to Yeshua, no, Tomak of Ahachokon Kodon, you're going to be the sole leader as far as everything. And again, like Maharsha says, the Skenim are not even going to have to help you out so much. Yeshua is going to lead the Jewish people in a different way than Moshe did. And then the Rebbe explains it over there in the Sicha of Pnimiyah Sein Yonim, that Yeshua, we learned in Bava Basri, Yeshua is like the moon to Moshe's son, but that means, in other words, that Moshe, from the point of view of Chochma, he needs the Skenim as well, as opposed to Yeshua is at a level of a Bittul, a Maile Mitam Vadas, so therefore, so you don't need the Skenim. On the contrary, he brings about a Bittul in the Skenim through this Terel Mako. Interestingly, the Rebbe finishes off in that Sicha, a Hirah from it is, when we say this Dabarach of the dur, you have to follow the leader of the generation. He said, which is a very appropriate point now when we're coming into Hanukkah with Mitzrayim, that Rebbe says at the end of the Sicha, you know, people wonder, what's this whole big deal with it, this whole trask with Mitzrayim and all that? We never had that in previous generations. And the answer is that, yeah, Dabar Echel L'dur, you got to follow the Nasi Hadur, says that you got to go out and do Mitzrayim, then you got to do it. There's no second guessing that. It didn't used to be that way. Okay, but Hashem expects you to follow the leader of that generation and not to start second guessing and thinking that you need a second opinion. Okay. So thus far the drushes on the various instructions of Moshe to the Dayanim, and we're saying also the instructions of the Jewish people as far as their respect for the Dayanim. Okay. Now getting back to halachas of bati dinim, the Gemara says tana. We learn in a brisa zimun b'shloisha. Zimun requires three. Now my zimun. What do we mean by zimun? Usually zimun means to make a mezuman. So ilayma birkas zimun. Do you mean to make a mezuman? It's true you need three for a mezuman for hatanya. But we learn in a brisa zimun ubirkas amazin b'shloisha. We learn in a brisa that zimun and zimun ubirkas zimun b'shloisha. That zimun and birkat zimun, which means actual benching, require three. So therefore, so obviously zimun is something else than birkat zimun. For chitema porushi kama farish my zimun birkat zimun. So you're going to say maybe the braisa is just explaining with zimun, namely birkat zimun requires three. But no, v'haltanya, we have another braisa that says it even more clearly. Zimun v'shloisha, birkas zimun v'shloisha. That both of them separately require three, implying that zimun in this braisa, in these various braisas, does not refer to birkas azimun, but rather something else. Ela, my zimun azmuni ledin. So the word zimun in this braisa means summoning people to Beis Din. When Beis Din issues a summons to come to Beis Din, it requires three dayonim. And that means, kihoda omar rova. Namely, like what Rava said, hani beit tfosa dayoni diyasvi, when three dayonim are sitting, v'ozo shlicha de beit dina, v'omim v'puma dechad, the shliach Beis Din goes to summon somebody to Beis Din and says in the name of one of them. So imagine, for example, you have the shtot rov and two other dayonim are sitting and judging, and the shliach Beis Din goes and says, the shtot rov wants you to come to Beis Din. So that's loy amar klum. So Rava says what he said doesn't count for anything. Meaning, in other words, that if the guy refuses to come for the summons, then he can't be penalized in any of the ways that you normally would, because the summons has to be in the name of all three of them. Ad omer mishmei dekulu, but unless he says it in the name of all of them. So we have to mention the base. So you have to mention the Beis Din of three, Pliny, Pliny, and Pliny are summoning you to Beis Din. However, the Gemara says, Hani mili dilo yoyme dedina. That would apply when it's not a regular day for Beis Din to be sitting in session. Abba yoyme dedina, but on the regular days when Beis Din sits in session, such as Mondays and Thursdays, less one bar, then there's no issue in it, because then even the summons comes in the name of one of them, then you know that it's in the name of all three of them, because those are the regular days that Beis Din is sitting. So then it would be enough to give the summons in the name of one of them, and if the guy doesn't listen, then there are consequences. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Tashlumei Kefil Chula, we said there are a number of things that have to be judged by a Beis Din of three. We started by saying, Dinei Momenus, Gzeilus, V'chavolus, and we discussed that extensively a few blocks ago, and the Mishnah continues that there are Tashlumei Kefil and a number of other Dinei Knosses that have to be judged by three. So the Gemara says, Sholach le'Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista, le'Rav Nachman bar Yaakov. So Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista sends a message to Rav Nachman bar Yaakov. Elsewhere in Shas, by the way, there's an interesting discussion between Rashi and Tosfos. When we have plain Rav Nachman in Shas, which Rav Nachman is it? Rashi in Gittin learns that when we have Rav Nachman unspecified in the Gemara, it means Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. But Tosfos over there says, no, it's actually Rav Nachman bar Yaakov or Rav Nachman over here. So generally, he's just called plain Rav Nachman only when he's mentioned together with another Rav Nachman, as in this case, Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista, then he has to be called by his father's name. Anyway, so Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista sends a message to Rav Nachman bar Yaakov, Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, Rebbe teach us. Now, Rav Chista and Rav Nachman were chaverim, but now it's Rav Chista's son, Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista. So Rav Nachman bar Yaakov is the previous generation, so he addresses him respectfully as Rebbe. Dine knosses bekama. When it comes to judgments of knosses, whereas we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, dine knosses is any case where the Torah is telling the person that he has to pay more or less, or most cases where the Torah tells him that he has to pay more or less than the actual amount of damages or a fixed amount. So, for example, tashlum and kefil are an example of knas. Chatzi nezek in most cases is a din of knas, because he's paying only half the nezek. The fact that the Torah says, for example, that an oynas or a mafata pays a fixed amount, 50 sloyim, is also an example of a knas. So now Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista is asking how many judges are needed to judge dine knosis. Well, I said, my comment, by the way, what is Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista asking? Ha'anan t'nan, g'shloisha. The Mishnah or Mishnah says three. And Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista knows the Mishnah. Ella, no, the question was, Yochin Mumcha Kami Boile. His question was, now we learned before that in cases of Dine Momenis, we said, at least according to some opinions, a Yochin Mumcha could judge an individual who's an expert, where we talk about that an expert means that he's known to be an expert and he got permission to do this from the Nasi or the Reish Galusa. So now the question is, does that apply to Dine Knossos? Does that apply to regular Dine Momenis, or does it also apply to Dine Knossos? So that's the question. So Ella Yochid Mumcha come about like doing dinik knosis aloy, can a Yochid Mumcha judge dinik knosis similar to the way that a Yochid Mumcha could judge regular dinik mominus, or maybe knosis are different. Meaning, now we learned a few blocks ago that we had a machloikas, whether minat Torah, we had Rabbi Bohu saying in particular that minat Torah you need three dayonim, and according to him you can never have less than three. And then we had Shmuel's opinion that said that minat Torah one dayon would be enough. And then we said according to Rabbi Boho, we said the Chachamim made a takana. You don't need three mumchim for regular dini mamonis. Three regular people is enough because shalotino delas b'fnei loivin. As opposed to according to Shmuel, we said that minat Torah one would be kosher. So the point is, in other words, that now. And Tosfos earlier in the Masechta explained that even Rabbi Bohu, who holds that minat Torah you need three always, he would agree that Dirabbanan, it's enough to have a Yochid Mumcha. So now the question would be whether this also applies to Dinei Knossos. So Omale, sort of Nachman by Yaakov answers him Tinisua. We see in the Mishnah, we can it's true, it doesn't say explicitly in the Mishnah, but we can derive it. The Mishnah had said Tashlume Kefal with Tashlume Abav Hamisha Bishloisha, that Tashlume Kefal and Tashlume Abav Hamisha, all of which are Knossos, require three Dayanim. Now my Shloisha, what kind of three Dayanim? Ilema Shloisha had Yotis. Do you mean three hedyotis, three regular people who are not mumchim? No, ha'oma avur da'avruch mishmeidu rav, your grandfather, so that would be Rav Chista's father, had said in the name of Rav, afilo asorah v'hen hedyotis, psulun l'dinei knossos, that even if you have 10 people who are hedyotis, are possible to judge dinei knossos. Dinei knossos can be judged only by a basin of mumchim, and mumchim over here means smuchim, the ones who have the smicha ish mipi ish to back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So we see clearly that Rav says that if they're not smuchim, they can't judge dinei knossos, no matter how many of them there are. Ela mumchim, obviously then the Mishnah must be talking about mumchim, v'kama shlosha, and the Mishnah is saying three, so yes, that would be the answer. A yochid mumcha cannot judge dinei knossos, you need a minimum of three always, and they have to be mumchim, namely that they have slicha. Now, the Mishnah had gone on to say, among the cases that, among the various cases that the Mishnah had mentioned, one of them was Motzi Shemra. Motzi Shemra is a case where a husband goes to Beis Din saying that he found his wife to not be a Bsula. First of all, the Mishnah had said that a Motzi Shemra b'shloisha divrei Rameir. Rameir had said it's enough to have three dayanim for that, and the Chacham said 23 because there's dinin nefashis involved. Now, you have like this. When it comes to Motzi Shemra, there's a couple of possibilities. He might be saying that she's not a basula, and he's saying that he could be saying just that, just I don't have evidence that she was Mizana. I'm not saying she's Chayiv Misa, but I am saying that because she's not a basula, and I expected her to be, therefore it's a Mekach Tos, and I shouldn't have to pay her, I should be able to divorce her, or annul the marriage, or whatever, and not pay her Ksuba, or at most that I shouldn't have to pay it, I shouldn't be on the hook for a Ksuba of 200 Zuz. So you could have that. Then the classic case of Motzi Shemra, which is described in the Torah, and the dinim of it are discussed extensively in Masechta Ksuvos, is the husband brings edim that his wife was Mizana after the Erusin. If that's true, then she's going to be Chayiv Skila. If not, if it turns out that his edim were false, then instead he gets Malkus, he pays a fine of 100 sela, and he's never allowed to divorce her. So now we're going to be talking about all those details over here. So the Mishnah had said, So again, Rav Meir had said that a Motzi Shemra, you can have a Beis Din of three, and Rav Meir, and the Chachamim had said you need 23 because there's Dini Nefoshes involved. So the question is, yesh by dinin nefashis may havi. And so what? So what if there could be dinin nefashis eventually? Aren't we talking about right now only the dinin mamonis aspect of it? Aren't we talking about the Gemara's understanding over here that there is a type of motzi shemra where there's misa involved, but the Gemara is bothered by. In other words, when we say it sounds like we're saying motzi shemra b'shloisha, namely he wants to come to Beis Din and claim she wasn't a besula and therefore she should forfeit her ksuba. So therefore, sort of Meir is saying that's 3. Now, why would the Chachamim say 23? Because there, what do you mean? Because there are dinin nefashos means there is type of motzi shemra that involves dinin nefashos. So what? He's not coming with that kind of claim of motzi shemra. So why should the Chachamim say that you need 23? So Ula says the Machloikas, Reb Meir, and the Chachamim is about Choshishin Laz. Are we concerned that when they, now Rashi and Tosfos have very, very different explanations of what the Sugya is going to be saying over here. So first Rashi. So when they come to Beis Din, Edom might hear that they came, that this couple came to Beis Din, and then Edom are going to come forward and give Edos that she was Mizana. Right now, the husband doesn't know that there are such Edom available yet. So what happens is, therefore, the Chachamim are saying, So the mayor is saying, don't worry about that to begin with. Just gather together a Beis Din of 3. If such Edim show up, then yeah, then we'll reconstitute the Beis Din and add another 20 Dayonim so we can have Dinin Nefashos. Whereas the Chachamim are concerned about that possibility in the first place, and therefore so Choshin, the Laz Kamisagi, so are we concerned that there's going to be a Laz, that there's going to be, the rumor is going to go out that this couple has gone to Beis Din, and then Edim are going to show up to say that she was Mizana. Reb Meir saw in Chushin Laz, Reb Meir says we're not concerned about that kind of Laz. So therefore, it's enough to have 3. But Abban and Sabri, Chushin Laz, the Chum say that we do have to be concerned about Laz. It could happen that it ends up being a case of Dinin Nefashos if such Edim come forward, and therefore, to begin with, we have to have a base Din of 23. Now, that's according to Rashi. Tosfos has a lot of problems with Rashi's explanation. First of all, Rashi begins by saying the Gemara has assumed to begin with that the husband's claim is only that he wants to make her forfeit her ksuba. He's saying, I didn't find her b'sula. Maybe she was Mizana during the Erusin, maybe not. I don't have evidence one way about that or the other. But I do know she's not a b'sula, and therefore I don't want to have to pay her ksuba of 200. But the problem is, Tosfos says, the Mishnah is mentioning this together with Onus and Mefata, which is a matter of Knas. So that would suggest we are talking about the classic case of Motzi Shemra, where if it turns out that his claim is false, then he's going to be getting Malkus, and he's going to be paying a fine of 100 sela. And there are many, many other explanations. Tosfos has a half dozen questions on Rashi's explanation. So rather, Tosfos explains the whole sugya. We are talking about the hundred seller. So we're talking about, to begin with, the case comes to Beis Din. The father says to the husband, "You're defaming my daughter. You're saying that she was Mizana and that she was Mizana during the Edison and she's Chayav Misa. I have Edim that show that you're lying, that you're Edim, a false Edim or whatever, and therefore you owe me the hundred. Therefore you owe me." The hundred sloyim. So now the choshish in the laz would be like this: the husband brings edim that she was mizana. Now we were makhish the edim, so we weren't mazim them necessarily. The other edim didn't come and say mono hayisim, but other edim came and were makhish them and said it's not possible that happened. Let's say, for example, the other edim. So let's say you have two edim come and say that she was mizana in New York on such and such a day, and two other edim come and say on that day she was in Eretz Yisrael. So now we're not saying the first set are not Edim Zayman, but nevertheless the Edus has been cancelled out because it's two against two. So what happens now is, so now the husband is Chayev, the 100 Sloyim. So now the Chachamim are saying you need 23 to begin with, because again, what happens if later on Edim may come that she was Mizana, other Edim, that is, may come and say that she was Mizana, and then we're going to have to add another 20 Dayonim, because at that point it becomes a matter of Dinin Nefashos. Now the Laz is going to be Motzi Laz on the earlier Dayonim to say, you know what, you know why we have to have 20 extra Dayonim? Because the first 3 Dayonim didn't know how to judge the case, and therefore we had to add a bunch more. So when it was Hazama, then we can say, Tosfos says, you can see the fact that he got Edim and they were Muzam shows that he's, to begin with, bringing false Edim. But Hukhashu doesn't mean, really, in other words, there's no particular reason to bring to trust one set of Edim over the other. Practically speaking, we can't convict her because we have evidence one way and the other way. So therefore, so maybe he is telling the truth, and there is more of a concern that if he brings other Edim later that say that in fact she was Mizana on a certain date, on a certain time, etc., that there's going to be Dini Nefoshes over here. So then the laws over here means that people are going to think the Uliu Dayanim were incompetent and they didn't know what to do, and therefore we had to add a bunch of Dayanim, and the Chachamim are not, so the mayor is not concerned for that, and the Chachamim are. So that's Tosfos' understanding of Choshed in the laws. Rava Omar, the Gemara continues, Rava says, or on the side of here it says it might be Rava, to kula amal alaz lechashinim. No, the machlokas of Meir and the Chachamim is something else. They both agree we're not concerned about the possibility of laws. But the argument is, are we concerned about the covered of the earlier dayanim? Namely, what do we mean? What we're talking about over here. Suppose that to begin with, 23 dayanim gathered to judge the case of dini nefashos, because the husband says, I have edim that she was mizana, and therefore there's a dini nefashos involved over here. But eventually the Ivdur, so he looked for those Edim, he couldn't find them, the Ivdur, so the Chachamim scattered, they all broke up and went their ways. So because he couldn't find them, or Tosfos points out there might have been various other reasons. There might be an oinus. There might be that they had a reason to leave. There was pachad. They were afraid. So Tosfos explains a little differently. The father of the girl did bring Edim to be mazim, the husband's Edim. But before Beiskin had a chance to listen to that second set of Edim, Ivdur, they scattered machmas oinus because there was some kind of oinus or pachad, or they went to greet the king, or they went to measure the distance to the city for the Egla Arufa, and all that are left is three. But Omalahu, so the husband says, you know what, listen, I don't have my Edim, and you don't, we don't have 23 over here to judge the Dinin of Foshes, so fine, at least Dayonu li mia Dinin Mominus. At least, since there are three of you over here, judge me the Dinin Mominus part of it, that I shouldn't have to pay Huxuba. Or according to Tosfos, that the father is claiming from the 100 seller. So now the question is, do we have to, so the mayor is going to say, fine, we're not worried about the covered of the Rishonim, of the earlier Beisdin of 23. Fine, 20 of them are gone. As long as we have three, we can at least judge the Dini Nefoshes case. The Chum is saying, we're choshish for the covered of the Rishonim, of the earlier Dayanim. We don't want all of them left, and what people are going to think, they're no good Dayanim or something, and therefore they all left. We have to call them all back together in order to judge the case. And without that, otherwise, yeah, we're going to say that the other ones were not good dayanim. Okay, the Gemara says Mesi. I have a contradiction. So far we have two explanations. Again, Ula's explanation was that we're choshish in the laws, which according to Rashi means that we're concerned that once news of the case gets out, Edim are going to come forward. And according to Tosfos, the vote is that people are going to think that the Uliu dayanim didn't know what they're doing, and therefore we need to add another 20. And Rava, or Rava's explanation was that we're talking about originally. They had 23 and then 20 of them left. So the question is, Macy, I have a contradiction on Ula. Abraisa says, the Chum say, it's not so simple whether you need 3 or 23. It depends. If there's a claim of only money, so he's not coming for Dini Nefoshes, he's just coming to say that she should forfeit Uksuba. The Shloisha, then it's enough to have three Dayanim. Tovei Nefoshes, but if to begin with the claim is of Nefoshes, that he's claiming that he has Edim, that she was Mizana, then the Esrim Shloisha, then you need 23. So Bishleim le Rava or le Rabba Tovei Mamon Tchila the Shloisha Tovei Nefoshes Tchila. So according to Rava or Rabba, we understand the Braisa as follows: Tovei Mamon Tchila. If the husband is coming to claim Mamon to begin with, he's only coming to make her forfeit her ksuba, v'shloisha, then it's enough to have three. Tova nefoshes tchila, and if he comes first with a claim of nefoshes, to begin with, he comes and says, I have a claim involving Edim, which is going to be mechayev misa, then tova nefoshes tchila, afilu mamed, even if in the end it turns out to be only a monetary claim, because he couldn't find the Edim, v'esrim v'shloisha, then we need 23. because choshevim makloidim. Elul ula kasha, but according to ula, it's a kasha. How would he understand tovei mamon b'shloisha? According to ula, to begin with, we always have to have 23 because we're concerned of choshevim malaz. Rava says, Aniva Arish Bachavura Taugimna, I, together with the lion, I mean the great powerful Tamar Chacham in the group of Chachamim, Taugimna, we explain how the Braisa would work according to Ula, and the Gemara interjects to Manu Rabchia Ba'ovin, who is this Arish Bachavura, is Rabchia Ba'ovin. So the two of us together explain Chacham Mayaskinen, the cases over here in the Braisa, to Fa'enfa, how the Braisa would work according to Ula, Shehevi Abal Edim Shazinsa, the husband to begin with brings Edim that his wife was Mizana, Vehevi Av Edim that has Zimum Edi Abal, the father then brings Edim that are Mazim the Edi Abal, so unlike before we talked about in Tosfos, that they were Makhish them, where they just said it's impossible that it's so, because for example, she was elsewhere at the time, so that's Hakhosha, not Hazama, it means the Edim are contradicting one another, and we don't know which one is telling the truth, so we just throw out the whole thing, and we just say we need other Edim to begin with, as opposed to Hazama, when the second set of Edim come and say Imanu Hayisim, you were with us at that time someplace else, meaning maybe she was Mizana on that date in New York, maybe not, we don't know, but you can't say that because you were with us in Eretz Yisrael at the time. Anyway, so here we're talking about there's Hazama. So now we have the full-fledged case of Motzi Shemra in terms of the husband's responsibility. So now he's going to have to pay his 100 Sloim Knas, and he's going to get Malkus as well. So therefore, so the Braisa is saying, Bal Ligmus Mamen Min Baal, when we say that he's coming to collect money, not that we thought before, it means the husband is coming to collect money from his wife, namely to make her forfeit Huxuva. It means the father of the girl is coming to collect money from the husband. Because he's saying, you were a Motzi Shemra, you claimed that my daughter was Mizana, and now you Edim, have been shown to be Edim Zomimin, and therefore you're on the hook, you have to pay the 100 Sloim. So then Bishloisha, so then the Chachamim and the Braisa are saying, that's enough to have three, because then it's only a matter of dinei mamonos over mokum nefoshes. But if there's a case of dinei nefoshes, namely the beginning of the case where the husband is saying that she was mizana and he wants not just to make her lose her ksuba, but there is or maybe even he does want to have, according to Rashi, that he wants to make her lose her ksuba, but potentially Edom might come forward and say she was actually mizana during the erusin. Then we're saying the esru mishloisha. Then the braisa would say that the chacham are saying that then you need 23 because that's already a matter of dinin nefashis. So in other words, the point is that when we say in the Braisa, Rava and Rav Chiya Ba'ovin are explaining, the Braisa is talking about two different claims. There's the case, there's later on in the story where the father takes this husband to Beis Din and says that you were Motzi Shemra on my daughter, pay up the 100 Sloim. So then, to begin with, that such a case needs only three. As opposed to earlier in the story where the husband, to begin with, had brought the claim that his wife forfeits Uksuba, and potentially that could become a matter of Dinin Nefashis, where then we would say you need 23. So the Braisa would work out according to Ula, because even Ula is going to say, in the case where the father is bringing the husband to Beis Din, there's no possibility of it becoming Dinei Nefashis. The most that's going to happen is the father says to the husband, you have to pay me the 100 Sloim. And Rashi also points out, by the way, as Tosfos had said before, that once there was Hazama over here, then we know that we're not gonna necessarily accept more Edim from the husband on this, because the fact that he brought such blatantly lying Edim means that now at this point he's gonna have to pay his 100 Sloim. So again, we're talking about that the second part of the case over there, the father is bringing the husband to Beis Din. So then there's no concern of choshesh in the laws, because no Edim are gonna come forward to say that she was in fact Mizana. So therefore we can just do it with three and we don't need 23. Again, according to Tosfos's explanation before, that the choshesh in the laz was rather that we're concerned that not like Rashi had said, that we're talking about that he brings the case to Beis Din to begin with dinin mamonos, and it may turn into dinin nefoshes if Edim come forward, but rather we said Tosfos had explained before that we are talking about, to begin with, the father is taking the husband to Beis Din, and choshesh in the laz means that afterwards the husband may be bringing other Edim. So again, where there was Hazama involved over here, then we're not concerned about that, because once he brought, to begin with, false Edim, then it's less likely that he's going to bring new Edim and that it's going to end up being a matter of dinin nefashos, as opposed to at the beginning when he first brought his edim, and there was only hakhosha, he might conceivably bring other edim, and then it would be a laz on based in, and then it would be a laz on based in that later on we're going to need 20 more dayanim, and people are going to think that the three dayanim to begin with didn't know what they were doing. Okay, so that way we can make the braisa work according to Ula as well. So the Gemara brings a few other explanations. So far we had two explanations. Now going back to, we had the Machlokas Rav Meir and the Chachamim in the Mishnah, whether you need three or whether you need 23. So far we had two explanations. Again, we had Ula's explanation that to begin with it was a case of Dinin Mominus, and later on it may turn into Dinin Nefashis. And the question is, therefore, whether Choshesh in the Laz or not, according to Rashi's and Tosfos' respective explanations. Then we had Rava saying it's not a matter of Laz, it's Choshesh in the Kvod and Shor Rishon, and we have 23 to begin with, and then 20 of them left. So now the Gemara is going to bring several other explanations of the Machlokas of Meir and the Chachamim. Abaya says another explanation. Dekula Alma Choshesh in the Laz, both Rav Meir and the Chachamim would agree that we are Choshesh for Laz, according to Rashi, that new edim may come forward, and according to Tosfos, that people are going to think the earlier dayanim didn't know what they were doing, and also that we're concerned for the kavod of the earlier dayanim, namely that if we had 23 there, we need to continue with 23 and not just continue with the three that are left. And the case over here in the Mishnah would be, going to ask Rav Sam, the husband brought Edim to that she was Mizana to the Beis Din of three, but the Edim said we were only master in her just generically. We didn't tell her that she's going to be Chayiv Misa. So the mayor holds there can't be any Din of Freshus involved, and therefore it's enough to have the base, to have the case judged by three, because without telling her she's going to be Chayiv Skila, then she's not going to be able to be Chayiv Misa anyhow. Rashi, by the way, mentions over here before we get to this that Rashi says some want to explain that the moment that we're dealing with over here in the sugya is where the father is suing where the father of the girl is suing the husband for the 100 svoyim. Rashi doesn't like that explanation. But again, Tosfos' whole explanation, Rabbi Natan's whole explanation in Tosfos, was indeed based on that point that we are talking about that claim. But anyway, Abaya is saying that what we're talking about over here is the husband brings his claim, but the Edim are coming and saying that we didn't give her Hasra to tell her that she's Chayiv Skila. The High Tanahu, therefore this would be subject to the following following Machlokas of Tanoim. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Ushar Kochayvin, Mrs. Shabbatura, first the Braisa starts saying that with a Mesis is a special case that with him you don't even need to give him Asura as far as Misa, but Ushar Kochayvin, Mrs. Shabbatura, and Mrs. Mosim Alaba Ediva Edim Vasra. All other people who are Chayiv Misa in the Torah, they can be executed only when there's an Eda, based in a 23, the Edim, you need two Edim, Vasra, and they have to give Asura. Now, when it comes to a Mesis as well, does that mean a Mesis does not need Hasra? A Mesis obviously needs Eda, he needs a Beis Din, and he needs two Edim. Does he need Hasra or not? Rashi implies that he doesn't need Hasra at all. All you need is Edim who saw that he was trying to be Mesis, that he was trying to convince somebody to worship Avodah Zarah, and for that alone he's Chayiv Misa, as opposed to Tosfos says it does mean that the Mesis still needs Hasra. It just means Hasra for him is going to be a little different than for everybody else. Later in the Masechta, we're going to learn that a Mesis comes to somebody and says, let's worship Avodah Zarah. So the guy has Edim behind a fence or something, and he tells him, you know, you're telling me to worship Avodah Zarah, don't you realize we have only the Eidishter? And the guy says, Alpha Pekin, I don't care, we should worship this Geshke anyhow, and then the Edim can jump out of hiding and arrest the guy and bring him to Beis Din. So there does need to be a form of Hasra, but the Hasra would be by telling him how could we do such a thing. As opposed to according to Rashi, it sounds like he doesn't need Hasra at all. Anyway, so the point is, though, that other than a Mesis, everybody else needs aid of Eidim Asra, Va'ad She'edi Ushu Chayev Misa Beistin. And furthermore, they have to inform him that he's Chayev Misa Beistin. So it's enough to inform him, according to the Chacham, according to the Tana Kama, that it's enough to inform him that he's Chayev Misa, but not which Misa. Rabbi Yehuda Omar She'edi Ushu Be'ezim Misa Hu Nerag. Rabbi Yehuda says they have to actually inform him which of the four Misas Beistin he's going to be Chayev. So therefore, so now the Machloikas and our Mishnah would depend on that. The Eidim come and say, yes, we saw her Mizana. Yes, we warned her. We told her she's going to be Chayev Misa, but we didn't tell her that she's going to be Chayev Skila. Does that work or not? Reb Meir holds it doesn't work. So therefore, she can't be Chayev Misa anyhow. So therefore, a lot of Beis Din of three judge the case, because anyway, there's no Chayev Misa involved. The Chachamim say that, no, you need 23, because according to them, they disagree with Reb Yehuda. They say it's enough to tell her she's Chayev Misa, and you don't need to say what kind of Misa, and therefore, this is going to be a case of Din and Nefashos, and therefore, you need 23. That's another way of explaining the Machlokas without us needing to say that there were two different, cases, or Choshes and the Laz, or any of those things. So we'll continue tomorrow. Beis Hashem, the Gemara is going to bring a few more answers, a few more explanations about the machloikas of Reb Meir and the Chachamim.